Hello, friends. Welcome to the Logistics of Logistics podcast. My name is Joe Lynch. Thank you so much for joining us today. On the Logistics of Logistics, I talk to experts in logistics and transportation, warehousing, fulfillment, supply chain, and of course, technology. And during these interviews, I'm always the one asking the dumb questions. I ask the dumb questions so you don't have to. Today's topic is understanding the Canadian logistics landscape with my friend Dean Duffin. Dean is co-founder and CEO of Linear Logistics, one of Canada's fastest growing full-service third-party logistics companies. Canada is the United States' top trading partner, and there is still so much opportunity for expanding that trade. But first, we must figure out the logistics part, which is why you should listen to my interview with Dean Duffin. How's it going, Dean?
Yeah, really good, Joe. How's your day today?
Doing great. I'm excited to talk to you about this topic today. So Dean, please introduce yourself and your company and where you're calling from today.
Yeah, Dean Duffin with a company called Linear Logistics. I'm calling from beautiful Calgary, Alberta, up here in Canada, next to the Rockies. And yeah, just excited to discuss what's going on.
So what do you guys specialize in over at Linear Logistics?
Linear is a full-service 3PL, so we are experts in a bunch of different areas. We started as predominantly a flat deck company because we're doing so much oil adjacent work for the big producers and the tertiary industries attached to the oil field. But we've got a diverse background and a really good team. So we're doing some refrigerated moves, Mexico up to Canada, that type of business. We've got a big connection with a bunch of the big box retailers growing as well at the moment. Yeah. And we're geographically diverse as well in that we have people in Toronto, Regina, Saskatchewan, both Edmonton and Calgary here in Alberta, and a small operation in Vancouver as well. So we're industry diverse as well as geographically diverse as well.
Yeah, and that's super. And we'll get into that topic. But it is, when you talk about Canada, a massive country, I think it's the largest land space, largest land mass of any country.
Second, I think. Yeah.
What's number one?
Russia, I think.
Oh, even when they lost a little bit? Okay, so.
I'm not super good at the stats, but I'm pretty sure, unfortunately, they're still number one.
But it's a very diverse industry-wise, too. And that's why you need some, if you're going to get a logistics provider in Canada, you better make sure they can cover the whole place. Dean, tell us a little bit about you. Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? Some career highlights before you started Linear Logistics.
Yeah, nice. I grew up in a small town, Alberta, just west of Edmonton. So I'm a big Oilers fan. Playoffs are coming up. Go Oilers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and went to school at the University of Alberta, BCom International Business and New Venture Creation. Yeah, and then once I graduated there, I moved to Calgary just to enjoy the mountains, fly fish the Bow River and ride to mountain bikes and snowboards. And yeah.
And now you... Where'd you go to work out of school?
I was fortunate enough to end up at a little company called C.H. Robinson. Yeah. So yeah, I had a really good run there, enjoyed my time, pretty good organization, learned a lot, worked with some great people, some of whom are still part of the Linear team now. So we've been working together for a number of decades. Yeah, so we had a really growing team, fast-paced. We went from 4 people to 25 at the C.H. office here, and then I was invited to help grow the Calgary office for Canadian 3PL called FLS. Again, pretty good organization. Good team over there. Yeah. And then, yeah, my business partner and I, Andrew, just decided we really enjoy the startup phase, the new venture, the building a team. So we're really focusing here at Linear on how can we do it slightly differently and scale the true boutique experience is our mission, right? The really dedicated customer service, not just high volumes, as big a numbers as we can make. We really want to figure out how we can grow our team to focus on that aspect of it. Yeah.
But you're hardly small anymore. So you guys are growing, but you still want to give the boutique experience.
We are growing. Yeah. That's the mission. But yeah, we are growing very quickly. Yeah.
We talked a lot offline the other day and then today. Not just about hockey. We talked about other things. But we talked about just this, how big Canada is and how integrated it is with the U.S. market. So it's, I think there's about, Canada's about 1/10 the size of the United States in terms of population, but you have this massive landmass over there. And the each region, we'll talk about the five regions of Canada, they're very integrated into the United States, just like Texas does a ton of business with Mexico. We have, so each one of these regions of Canada does more business oftentimes with the US than it does with their Canadian neighbor. And again, that's just the nature of the integration of the market. And I think that's a good thing. We need that.
Yeah, it's great, the amount of cross-border trade. And if you think about it, like you mentioned offline, to get from Toronto to Calgary is a number of days, whereas to get from Toronto to Detroit is a number of hours, right? And you look at mileage, kilometers, population base, yeah, the north-south and the cross-border traffic is integral to both countries.
Yep. And when we talk about the border, oftentimes we talk about the Canadian, the Mexico-U.S. border. And there's some real advantages for the U.S. to deal with Mexico. They're lower cost than the U.S. They tend to be younger. So there's some opportunity to move some manufacturing, some other even logistics down there. That's happening, clearly. Canada is, we're never moving stuff over the border to Canada necessarily because of low cost. They're similar cost to the US, but there is expertise in different areas and the natural resources are unbelievable. We'll get to Calgary in a minute with the oil, but it's not just oil. But I think what we're seeing is also an evolution. We'll talk about Calgary is all about oil. When people think of Calgary, they think of oil, but it is growing into a logistics hub. And it is growing into a tech hub, and it is already a financial center for that side of the Canada. But anyway, let's talk about some of these five distinct regions. So the first region, I wrote them down before. you know them by heart, but not me. The Atlantic provinces, which is the Far East. I think sometimes they call the Maritimes.
Maritimes, for sure, yeah.
And so that would be Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, those kind of places. What do they focus on over there?
That would be lots of port-related container-type business. Obviously, access to the European lanes and short boat rides from various ports into the eastern. That's the usually the first port of call for some of the shipping lanes. So, yeah, lots of container stuff. There's some really good agricultural products, lots of potatoes and fish and stuff as well. So, yeah, no, it's an interesting market and a great bunch of people. I was out in Halifax a little while ago. It's a really good time.
My old roommate from college is from Halifax, so I've been up there a few times, and that port is massive. And I think during World War II, it was the second largest port in the I think it was the second largest port in North America. So super important port. And I drove there from Detroit. I'd highly recommend you do not do that. It's like a 30-hour drive. But it is, my old roommate said, this is a long time ago, but he said, when you leave Montreal, stop at every single gas station and you won't see many, but stop at every single one because you will run out of gas otherwise. He's not lying. We ran out of gas. We ran out of gas at a gas station and that was closed and somebody had to run over and get the owner and fill up our tank. They were kind enough to do it after hours, but very wide open, lots of space up there.
Yeah, lots of people underestimate the distances that still exist up here sometimes.
That's at least a 30-hour drive from Detroit to Halifax. It's all 401. So you just go on 401, but of course, me and my idiot friends, we decided we will take the shortcut and ended up on a whole bunch of dirt roads in the US and Canada. But getting back to it, the second region is central. And the central region is very populated. That is between, that would be Ontario, Quebec. What else would that include?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the big driver of all things economy Canada-wise. There we have got some really big important industries in the West, but in terms of population density, manufacturing, lots, all the bigger numbers, higher volumes, that's one of the core drivers.
Yep. And when you think about Ontario, Canada, I've been there a million times just because, first off, I played hockey as a kid, so we always went play over in Canada in the mornings, Saturday mornings. But when I worked in automotive, so much of Detroit automotive, when somebody says Detroit automotive, what they don't realize is a lot of Detroit automotive is in Ohio and Windsor, Ontario. So it is a big manufacturing hub. And the minivans. When I worked at Chrysler, there was the minivans were there. It's a the most important product at the time was the minivan, and it was made in Canada.
Yeah, there's a bunch of, there's not only that kind of manufacturing, but the tertiary parts and different pieces there. There's lots of manufacturing in Ontario for those. Yeah, it's one of our Ontario operations. Our Toronto team does a lot of that, actually. Yeah.
Yep. It's also interesting is when you look at Canada, you have that central region is probably a big part of the economy. I'm going to make this up, but it's probably 40% of the economy is there. And then a big chunk out on the West Coast where you're at and lots of wide open space in between.
Yeah. Yeah. There's lots as we move west. The prairies are a big agricultural center. Lots of exports of grains and foodstuffs going overseas into the States for sure. Some big potash mines, a couple of big steel mills making pipe that comes into the Alberta oil field. So yeah, there are some pockets of other inputs into the economy, but yeah, the Central Canada is the big driver.
Yep. And then, so the next region we just touched on, it's the prairie regions. That would be a lot of agriculture and oil.
Yes, yeah, Saskatchewan, Alberta, Manitoba. Yep, for sure.
And so I know you are in Calgary. I want to talk a little bit about oil and the importance of oil, but also the importance of some other industries. So I know you guys specialize in the oil biz, or one of your areas of specialization. So talk a little bit about what that logistics looks like for the oil field supply chains. What do they need and how is it getting there?
It's as diverse and integrated as all the other supply chains, right? The pretty sophisticated buyers are all very good companies sourcing the best of the highest quality materials. So they have to look at all the manufacturers of pipe, for instance, is a big commodity that we're involved in Western Canada. So that there's big, really high quality mills in Japan. We have a couple we deal with, Korea, Indonesia. And so that kind of international import piece to the puzzle is important to them. But then pipeline manufacturing or construction is a pretty big industry, right? Because they've got to tie in all the wells into the bigger pump stations and whatnot. So there's lots of heavy equipment that needs to move around. We did a big demo recently from northern British Columbia all the way back down to Pennsylvania is where all the equipment came from. So yeah, it's very integrated. And yeah, most of those were like 80,000 pound loads. So it was all big, heavy iron, we call it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you said earlier on, you said flat deck. I think we call those flat beds here. Am I right to say that?
Interchangeable. Yeah. But yeah, it depends on to whom you're speaking.
Exactly. So a lot of that stuff that you guys are currently moving that for the oil companies are coming in on the West Coast and you're picking them at the port and then moving them. Do you move them to distribution centers? Or are you moving them straight to a staging site for the construction companies or the
all of the above? If it's going in the ground for any duration or like pipeline stuff, it's got to get coated so it'll be safer and more secure, obviously, so they can cut down on any sort of dilemmas that way. So that'll come to a big coating center in Edmonton. And then but if it's more what we call oil country tubular goods, OCTG, and that's more drilling related pipe and product, that will for sure, lots of that comes from overseas. So we'll either truck it if it's urgent project straight off the docks in Vancouver, or we have a pretty good system where we can load straight from vessels onto rail cars, unload in Edmonton, and then take it to the distribution yards. And then from there, usually what happens is it'll go from the big yards in Edmonton out to stock yards closer to where the drilling activity is. And then once it gets there, the urgency goes up, because if the drilling rig needs it, they need it then, right? So if it's a day late,
it's like $1 million an hour problem, isn't it?
Yeah. So the closer we get to the last mile, the urgency goes off the chart. So we really got to be watching the details at that point.
Yep. Now, when you're delivering to an oil field, you're not delivering the final mile. You're taking it to a staging area that is often expressway, I'm assuming. Maybe a dirt road.
We have partners that can do all of it. Usually the staging area is where we are, but we do have some relationships where we will actually take it on off-highway trucks direct to the drilling site. Yeah,
I know. I've seen those big wheeled vehicles that take it out, because you're going to over areas that often don't have a road, or if they do, it's a dirt road.
Yeah, we were temporary roads that were just put in specifically for a set of wells that are going in. Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about the Atlantic province, we talked about, which is the sometimes called Maritime, way out east. We talked about the Central, which is, again, a big business hub that would be Ontario, Quebec. We talked about the Prairie, which has a lot of agriculture and a lot of wide open space, but it also has the oil. And let's talk next about the West Coast. Because, again, I don't know, do you consider Calgary part of the West Coast or the Prairies?
No, I think we get predominantly, we're linked as with the Prairies. Yeah, we love being on the western edge of the Prairies and nestled into the Rockies, but we're definitely still predominantly Prairies. But yeah, no one, the BC is the standalone. Vancouver and Prince Rupert are the main logistics piece to the puzzle in the West Coast proper.
And the West Coast does a lot of more business with Asia than the other regions, and for good reason, because I think you have a lot of people from Asia in that region now, right?
Yeah, there's been a lot of immigration from those areas for sure. And yeah, the shipping lanes, it's a natural. And some of the big shipping lanes call there first before they go down to California, if I remember correctly. So it's, yeah, definitely the transit times can be better on certain projects.
Yep. So the West Coast, which you said, British Columbia and Vancouver, that's another major part of the economy for Canada. I don't know what the specifics are, but if Ontario and Quebec is one big chunk, that would be the second big chunk. I'm guessing Calgary is that either the second or third largest chunk of that economy.
Well, we kind of function as the people refer to it as the inland port, right? Because if it's product coming from Asia, it's coming through Vancouver. And so Calgary often ends up being the link to get it over to Eastern Canada. And the same goes the opposite way for big distribution networks. It can come, has to come through Calgary at some point. And then from here, it's only an overnight pretty much, or one day transit time out to Vancouver. So it's a good, Calgary functions as a good link there.
Yep. And so one last area, Northern Territories, I'm assuming those are pretty much very low population. What kind of logistics are you talking? Is it just importing stuff to the people who live there?
That's a really interesting supply chain. Like keeping the grocery shelves stocked up there is a challenge, right? Because there's some very remote communities that during certain times of the year, they build a road across the river that's near the town. And then in the summer, you have to take ferries in and out. There is no big bridges. There is usually during the breakup when the river has big ice chunks in it, there's a time where you have to fly all the food in. So that is a really fascinating logistics challenge for sure. But then there's some really big mines and some oil industries and stuff like that. So, and I'm sure lots of people that listen to your show or watch it are familiar with the ice road truckers. And
that's where you
get into that kind of adventure. That's a very specialized set of people and carriers that are handling that business.
It's a hardy group that lives up there. So what province? Those are territories. So they're not provinces. It's just called the Northern Territories. What are those?
So yeah, it's the Northwest Territories, is Yukon, the Northwest Territories, and Nunavut.
It's a massive area though. And we have some of the same challenges in the US. So I think Wyoming has 500,000 people. But it doesn't mean they don't want stuff at their, they live there, but they still have expectations that we're going to receive food on the shelves and cars if we want to buy them and all the other stuff. And we have a lot of regions that are similar. And I think I just saw a video yesterday about North Dakota. And in North Dakota, they've always had, it's always been big in agriculture, but it's also got some oil. So the rail and the oil are competing. The oil and the grain is competing for the rail. And obviously, if you're North Dakota, you would need to move all of it. And until we get, and it's pretty advanced infrastructure. They're very advanced, North Dakota, with the rail, but we might need more. But it's funny to say Nunavut. There's a comedian that I like, Ryan Long. And he's from Canada, but I think he lives in the U.S. now. And he says, yeah, I always tell people, girls I meet, that I'm from Nunavut. And I was like, oh, is that new place? Is that a First Nations name?
Yes, yeah.
In Canada, you're always calling the indigenous Native Americans, I guess they'd be.
Yeah, the indigenous populations. Yeah, everyone's trying to do their best to make sure that we're respecting the culture and the fact that they were here before we got here and how that intersects with how the entire country developed. Yeah, everyone's trying to be very respectful.
What did Nunavut used to be?
I think it was a section of the Northwest Territories, but again,
I won't put you on the spot anymore.
I really need a little touch up.
So let's talk about Calgary. We've talked about these five distinct areas, Atlantic, which are Maritimes. We talked about Central. We talked about the Prairies, which includes Calgary and Alberta. We talked about the West Coast, which is BC, Vancouver, all of that. And we talked about the Northern Territories, where we get a little sketchy on what's going on up there. But let's talk about Calgary. So Calgary is one of the great oil hubs in the world, right? And so a lot of that oil is pumped out of the ground. And where does it go to?
It goes predominantly down to Texas. Yeah, through the various big pipelines.
And then it gets refined down there?
Yeah, there is some limited refining going on around the Edmonton area. But I think the vast majority of it just goes down to Texas for the, yeah.
And are you guys involved in any of that? Or are you more about the supply chain side?
We do have a very specialized team that handles bulk finished product for a couple of the big oil producers. So it's essentially just industrial volumes or big volumes of 5W30 engine oil, like the same stuff that you would put in your car or whatever is the. So we do have a tanker division specialized in that, and that's the closest we get to hauling actual oil. But mostly the supporting of the drilling industry is where our main expertise.
Yep. So I know Calgary took a lot of the money that you guys have made in the oil business and started investing in other spaces. So I know you mentioned earlier that Calgary is an inland port, and I know they have the big airport there that can handle the big cargo, but also you have the rail and you have basically the logistics hub of Western Canada. Please elaborate.
Yeah, Calgary's done a really good job at attracting talent, and there's a bunch of very accomplished logistics-based companies. All the major retailers have distribution centers based out of here. Yeah, and so, yeah, the different aspects of it are we're so close to Vancouver, right? So if you're distributing goods out of here, it's a short trip to get to Vancouver to go on a boat or service the Vancouver market. We've got both rails, Canadian rail lines, which comes with their attentive U.S. partners that are attached to each one of those. And then, yeah, the big international airport, and we're home to one of Canada's biggest airlines, right? The WestJet is based out of here as well.
Yeah.
And so it's hard not to think of the oil industry when you're downtown Calgary, because all the big towers are owned by them or named after them. But yeah, the success we've had in that industry has brought in large investments into the tech sector.
Yeah. And the logistics sector. So it's interesting. That's funny. When you say tech sector, I think you have to include the logistics people in there now. And you might not have a dozen years ago, but now when you say tech sector, you're like, that's us.
Yeah.
And I think getting a developed logistics infrastructure is the key to growing regions. And I was just talking to somebody the other day, my friend Norhan, about Saudi Arabia. And he said they import virtually everything to there. But he said, you have people who want goods, and if we can get them there, you obviously have sellers who want to sell to those people. The weak link sometimes is logistics. So with a country as large as Canada, pop size, with relatively few people for that much land, it's really a challenge. Because again, there's that big gap in between the central regions and the West Coast and the prairies. And you have to somehow bridge that gap. And that's why I think we talked before we hit record about the importance of getting a logistics partner that understands the country. It's not the U.S. Things don't work. They're similar, very similar the way they work, but it's not the U.S. And if you're doing a lot of that cross-border, that's one thing, but understanding how to serve the whole country is a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah, there's lots of nuances. And like you say, because of the disparity in the population distribution and the large land mass, if you have inefficiencies in your supply chain, they can add up in a hurry, right? And so there's lots of nuances to it where there's certain markets to get out of Alberta. The rates are probably some of the best per mile in terms of from a shipping standpoint, because the amount of freight coming in is imbalanced to the amount of freight going out. So we can move to certain markets really effectively out of Calgary. But then there's little nuances and tricks in terms of running long combination vehicles, would be one truck, two trailers, right? And we can get bigger weights and more freight on those per tractor. So there's lots of different techniques and options that we have available to us just because we're so familiar with this market.
Yep. And I know we also talked a little bit about Calgary. It's not only as a logistics hub, it's very much a tech center. Again, you can say those intermingle these days, but it's also, it's got a big push to let people know what a great city it is to live. So I interviewed a guy named David Lynch. He's an Irish guy. We might be related distantly, but we aren't related. And he was living in Calgary when I spoke to him a few years ago, and it was during Stampede. So Stampede's a big deal. And again, I think that for the first time, I started seeing like a lot of country music acts going up there for Stampede. And I was like, what is going on with this? So please elaborate on what is Stampede and the importance of why you guys are doing that. Again, I know it's to entertain yourself, but it's also opening it up.
Yeah, I don't want to get too cliche about it, but yeah, we do love the Stampede here. Most of us do in Calgary anyways. It's obviously the attachment to the Western heritage of this region, right? Like the founder of the Stampede, I forget all my stats, but he was part of a ranch, or there was a ranch that ran from Calgary all the way down to Montana. He could ride all the way there without leaving his own property, right? So we have a very important attachment and historical connection to.
And that's a rodeo, right?
Yeah, the main event around the Calgary Stampede is the rodeo. Yeah, it's one of the bigger ones in North America. It's lots of fun. And there's lots of corporate involvement, company celebrations. It's a good time for the community to come together. There's a ton of music, not a ton of working, more networking than actual working.
I heard it shuts the city down during Stampede.
Yeah, for the best reason, right? It's a chance for the city to come together. Everybody puts their suits away and puts their cowboy hats on. It's everyone is really invested in celebrating the Hester heritage and coming together as a community. There's some really big fundraisers for different charities that happen because everyone's in such a good mood at that time. So yeah, it's just a celebration of Calgary and Calgarians coming together.
Yep. My old roommate used to say to me, he goes, if you're in the United States and you want to get away from it all, you used to move to California. And he said, same thing happens here, except they moved to Toronto. Now, things have changed. So maybe they're now saying, oh, I'm going to go to Vancouver, get away from my small town, get away from my flyover province. I call flyover states here. And I live in the Detroit metro area, and in a lot of ways, we're one of those places where you have to talk it up and say, hey, this is still a great place to live and work. Like, we have a good thing. And I think if you're going to attract and then keep the best talent, you have to open yourself up. And there's great places. You mentioned fly fishing in the mountains and all the great things you have in Calgary. Not everybody knows that about Calgary. And that's, they go, oh yeah, if you want to work on in an oil field, you move to Calgary. That is a very small part of it. And I think that a lot of cities, and again, my own, has to tell people why it's a great place to live and that we are not just part of the caricature.
Yeah. We are really spoiled in Calgary in terms of attracting good team members and highest level talent here. Like you said, we've got a world famous fly fishing stream that flows right through downtown. We've got three massive ski hills, world class, within an hour and a half. I ride mountain bikes about 45 minutes from here. So yeah, we have a lot of that outside adventure feel. A lot of the population is doing that all weekend, every weekend. So it's good. But we've also got two universities and one college with supply chain programs. And we've been fortunate enough to get some really top level talent out of those institutions. The real estate's still a little bit better than your Vancouver and Toronto, so it's a very attractive place for people to move right now. We're in a really sweet spot in terms of attracting the best teammates. And like you said, like our industry, especially from the 3PL standpoint, is all about information, technology, and the talent that manages it. So it's important to us.
It's also, you are the, in some ways, because you are the oil producing region, it is a wealthy area and that attracts some people.
Yeah, there's lots of good, really good jobs with the big oil producers, the engineering procurement companies that support them in their construction. But yeah, like you and I have already discussed, there's lots of other important industries as well. But it's an amazing place.
Yeah, I think any place that is currently in the oil business is talking about what if oil goes away. And it's probably going to go away it's not going to be gone in my lifetime, but it'll be gone. You know, at some point we'll stop using as much fossil fuels, or we'll come up with technology solutions like carbon capture. But I think a lot of the oil money that you guys have made over the decades has been invested in the tech sector and the building this great logistics hub that you guys have there. And I think that's super important to keep in mind. I think if you're in the US, we tend to think cross-border. We don't think once you get over the border. and I think if you're a company that needs to serve the Canadian market, you need to think about, I need a Canadian logistics partner that understands that region. And maybe your logistics company that says, hey, we don't understand Canada and we need a partner to help us. Because again, each one of these regions is distinct and again, has a ton of cross-border. And it's a little more challenging, if you ask me, to do business in Canada because of the central and then the West Coast and the prairies being so far apart from each other.
Yeah, there's definitely nuances to doing business with Canada for sure. And we do have some very big freight forwarders as partners where we work back and forth a little bit, where they have better rates in terms of air ocean, whereas we do a lot of, once they get it to Canada, we take care of getting it to their customer for them for that exact reason. So yeah, no, it's because the subtleties is different. Not everybody's used to or understands minus 35 for a week trucking.
Yeah. We were talking offline about this. I was helping a European company select a 3PL in Canada. I said, no, you have one in here in the Midwest that should serve most of what you need. The challenge was different tariffs. So Canada had a low tariff on that product, so they could bring it into Canada less expensively, sell it, I should say. But theoretically, this thing, I'm doing the air quotes here, theoretically, if I receive it in the US and sell it in Canada, I can go back to the Canadian government and say, hey, the American government, say, I want that money back. I don't want to pay that tariff. But that's a lot of extra hassle. And not every logistics provider is used to understanding that cross-border. It's an extra wrinkle that you have to concern yourself with.
And that's why having someone that understands that, and we do a lot of cross border, it's the nature, right? Whereas the domestic US market is multiple orders of magnitude bigger than anything we'll ever do out of Canada or across Canada. But there's other customs techniques, right? Like the bonded freight and all that kind of stuff where, yeah, it's important to really understand the difference.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit about your company. So again, when did you start your company?
Yeah, about 10 years ago now, yeah.
Yep, and you've guys grown to pretty good size. And I know you guys have some areas of specialization. So what are those areas? I think we already talked about oil. That's one of your areas. So please talk a little bit about that.
Flat deck and heavy haul is where we started, just being oil adjacent here in Calgary. That was a no-brainer. And my business partner, Andrew, had some long-time customers, very good friends. It's a tight-knit community. We've been working together for a long time, so it's been good there. But obviously, with my background at some of the bigger 3PLs in the industry, we're branching out. We've got our refrigerated department is doing really well recently, expanding as far as some Mexican produce coming up to Toronto and Calgary. So you can reach out there. We do a lot of building materials. We've got EDI relationships with some of the big box retailers. So yeah, we can help on anything. We're definitely a full service 3PL for sure.
I want to talk about the refrigerated and the oil for just a second. There's certain industries, and I think of automotive, if you're delivering to an assembly plant or a manufacturing location, the bar is really high because if you shut down one of those assembly plants, they'll shoot you. Not in Canada, in the US they will. And you'll get a scolding in Canada. Maybe. But same with refrigerated food. The bar is higher. The requirements are much higher. And imagine if you're getting a truck that's going from the Mexico border through US to Canada. That's a long haul, and you have to understand what's perishable. It's also a safety concern. So the two industries that seems like you've focused on, oil and refrigerated, the bar is much higher. And I'll be a little salesy for you here for a moment. When you come from an industries like those where the bar is higher, you're doing a dry van. Is, I'm not going to say it's easy. Nothing's easy in this business, but you understand it.
Yeah, on-time delivery with the dry van stuff is as important. Obviously, the consequences and the attention to detail required and the understanding of the market is critical. My favorite kind of anecdote from shipping produce is we had a tomato customer. So from Florida to Calgary is a long ways.
Oh my God.
And he would adjust the ripeness of the tomato en route. We would do color checks every morning and he would turn the reefer up or down directly to the driver so that when it hit his customer, the big grocery store, it was at the appropriate level of average ripeness per tomato. It was a small example of the attention, the detail required, but I really enjoyed that. That was a fun process.
Yeah, I know right over in Ontario, they grow a lot of tomatoes over there too. I think Heinz has a facility there. I've driven in the summer. There are a lot of tomato fields there.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if it's fields. I'm not a farmer. Anyway, I'm going to summarize, and then I want to get your final thoughts on the topic. So I'm talking to my friend Dean Duffin. We're talking about understanding the Canadian logistics landscape. So first off, we talked about these five distinct regions. There's the Atlanta, the Far East Coast, and then there's the Central Region, which I think a lot of us are familiar with, which is Ontario, Quebec, a lot of the business activity in that region. Then we talk about the Prairies, which includes Calgary, but it also has a lot of agriculture. And then the West Coast, British Columbia, which again, sometimes is looking west, but all these provinces do a lot of stuff cross-border. These were very integrated with the U.S. And then last, we talked a little bit about the Northern Territories. And I think the challenge there is it's remote and you got to serve it. Next, we talked about Calgary as very much the center of the oil business in Canada, but using a lot of that oil money to transition to the next stages of the economy, which is, it's a logistics hub. It's a tech hub. And they have the stampede, so you get a week off every year to goof off. From a point of view of attracting good talent and keeping that good talent, it's a great place to live. So I think that's super important to that. Then we talked a little bit about your company and some of your specializations in oil and refrigerated and just general purpose freight. Put a big bow on this one, Dean Duffin. Final thoughts.
Yeah, I don't know. I tend not to be as salesy as some. I'm really proud of our team here at Linear. That's our true strength, is the people. We've got zero turnover here in Calgary for the last year and a half. So we're holding a lot of Yeah, that's not common in our industry for sure. So we're really proud of our team. All of them are working really hard to look after their customers and make sure they have the most efficient routing for all their freight. And that's
very nice.
Yeah, we can help with anybody that needs in or out of Canada or across Canada as well. So yeah, we're here if you need us.
Dean, what I'll do is I'll put a link to your LinkedIn profile. I'll also put a link to your website and any other links you and your marketing team give me. I'll put those in the show notes so people can reach out and talk to you. What conferences will we see you at, you and the Linear Logistics team at?
We use TruckMate as our main TMS, so we might be attending that one, whether it's Florida or Las Vegas, I forget this year. And then I've recently learned about your one that you recommended, Manifest.
Oh, Manifest, yeah.
That's now on my radar. I might have to check that one out as well.
Yeah, so it's in February, so you got to consider that. And then you think, how warm is it in Calgary in February? And then you go, oh, what's the temperature in Vegas in February?
Yeah, it sounds like you have definitely understand the Canadian landscape. Vegas sounds a lot better in February.
It applies to all of the Northeast and the Midwest too. Good reason to get on a plane and go somewhere. Anyway, Dean, it's really been a pleasure getting to know you and talking about this topic. I think for those of us in the U.S., we sometimes take for granted that there is a huge market north of the border, and we are so integrated with it. The people are selling into it. It's generations that we've been selling and doing business, but we sometimes still forget it's there. And we're so focused on what's going on in the South, and Mexico's super important, but culturally, we get Canada and they get us. They speak our language.
Especially if you're talking hockey.
Exactly. Again, I'll put a link to your LinkedIn profile, link to your website, and any of the other links you have, I'll put in the show notes so people can reach out and talk to you. And thank you so much for taking the time, Dean Duffin.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you taking an interest in the Canadian market and some of the smaller players based out of Calgary here. So yeah, really appreciate your curiosity and bringing to the industry. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank all of you for listening to my podcast. Your support's very much appreciated. Until next time, onward and upward. You have been listening to the Logistics of Logistics podcast, where we engage with leaders in the logistics and supply chain community. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, hit the like button, and leave us a nice review on Apple or Spotify or wherever else you listen. Also, please check out our videos on YouTube and connect with us on LinkedIn. We're very big on LinkedIn. And you can also reach us on the logisticsoflogistics.com, our website.